Hello and welcome to the second episode of This Week in IPL. I'm your host Aditya, and just like last time, we have Ayaz online with us.
Hi guys.
Yeah, so that was Ayaz, and we also have a new voice with us here for this show. We have Meenal.
Hey.
So Meenal, the reason Meenal is here because you know she writes a, she I follow her cricketing blog, and she was also interestingly one of the finalists for the Harsha Ki Khoj. If you recall, there was this one program on ESPN Star. She's one of the finalists from that program. I said, why don't you join in? So
Aditya, thanks for the support. I would surely be looking forward to interacting with Ayaz, who I've been following since ages now.
Oh, thanks a lot, Meena.
Okay, on that note, let's get standing. Let's start the show with just taking a look at the IPL standings, okay? So Mumbai and RCB, they are still at the top end of the table at the end of the second week in the third edition of the IPL. Ayaz, interestingly, both teams have veteran captains, you know, and we also see that orange cap is right now worn by Kalis and purple cap is by Muralidharan. So do we sort of see a pattern here, IPL 3 being dominated by veterans?
No, I think pretty much so, you know. I mean, this is also the case in the first year, if you remember. I mean, Matt Hayden making a lot of runs, Adam Gilchrist, Shane Warne taking a lot of wickets. So really what I call it the rule of the golden oldies, because they seem to be enjoying themselves here. Largely because in the shorter format, I think everybody assumes that you need, you know, young legs, young lungs, young arms and whatever else. But I also think you need to have a mind which ticks, and you need a lot of experience to come to play. Because in a crunch situation, it's your experience which sees you through better than just kind of an instinct. I think everybody is a little confused about, you know, is this an instinct game or is it what? I think it's you have to be really sharp. And this has been evident from the manner in which Shane Warne has not only bowled, but the way he's captained his team. Because he seems to be, you know, kind of two jumps ahead of everybody else where the thinking part is concerned. So I think the older guys actually have a big role to play in this game.
What about Kumble's captaincy, Ayaz? Because I felt that he's not only given them the freedom to, you know, do their own thing, but he's an amazing guiding force, especially for young bowlers like Vinay Kumar and Praveen Kumar, who are coming up really well in this tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you look at who the two best captains are, and actually I would say in this tournament, you must include Sachin Tendulkar.
Yeah.
He seems to have shed his inhibitions about playing 2020, and he's so much more relaxed, and that seems to have kind of permeated into the Mumbai Indians dressing room. So what these three guys have actually done, and this is my surmise, is there's a heck of a lot of empowerment. I mean, the kind of opportunities and the kind of leeway, for instance, that Yusuf Pathan gets from Shane Warne is absolutely amazing. He knows this guy is going to fail. Out of 10 times, he's probably going to fail 5 times. But he's prepared to, you know, accept that failure and, you know, use him as the spearhead. As in when he sees the opportunity, if he fails, it doesn't matter. And the guy has been rewarded by the vice captaincy of the Rajasthan Royals team. Likewise, I think Anil Kumble, you know, because the sense of empowerment is very, very strong even in Anil. He obviously brings to the fore a lot of years as captain of India and then, of course, before that, Karnataka. And it's not just about Rahul Dravid and Jack Cullis. This Karnataka, the Rajasthan team, the Bangalore team is about Manish Pandey, about Virat Kohli, about Robin Uthappa. And of course about Vinay Kumar, who got into the T20 World Championship.
I felt really wonderful that selectors are actually following this IPL 20, you know, very closely. And Vinay Kumar has actually made it, of course his Ranji performances were good, but he's coming to highlight in the last week by his performances against MI and CSK. And probably that has, you know, given him the edge over Srisant and Ishan Sharma.
This list was announced today, correct? Or yesterday, was it?
Yesterday evening, I think it was.
Yes, it was yesterday. You know, they have followed, but I would say that perhaps not enough has been given to IPL in terms of giving weightage to performance of players. And perhaps rightly so, because what is happening in the IPL is, you've got teams with, you know, maybe 4 or 5 foreign players, only 4 can play in on any given day.
Hmm.
And then there's the Indian quotient, which is 7 players, not all of them necessarily up to international standards.
Right.
So there has been some kind of adjustment made, you know, in terms of weightage, what you'll give. It doesn't mean that people have not played well and the standard has not been high. It has been. But for instance, somebody like Ambati Raidu, who's been in terrific form for Mumbai Indians, Saurabh Tiwari, these are guys who've been performing brilliantly. So also Robin Uthappa, you know, for Manish Pandey, for Bangalore. Everybody thought that Manish Pandey and perhaps Robin Uthappa come knocking on the door for selection again after two rousing innings. But only Vinay Kumar, and Vinay Kumar is actually filling in a gap, because I don't think the selectors were convinced about Srishant, his recovery from fitness and his form.
But it's not quite working out for Kings 11 so far. Only one win, and then KKR also two wins from their five matches. Both of them at the bottom of the table. What are the chances now? You know, with one game out of five matches, can they just say that ye season ka bhool jate, let's open the file for the next season? Do they still have a chance now?
You know, for Kings 11 Punjab, I'm almost tempted to paraphrase Winston Churchill when he said, the situation is hopeless but not impossible. So, look, I think they've just kind of lost too many on the trot, which means the morale must be miserable in the dressing room. And frankly, that's also because they've got such a hugely talented side. I mean, the two Sri Lankans are two of my favorite batsmen in the world, Jayawardene and Sangakkara.
Yeah.
They've got Yuvraj, who's actually a limited over specialist, so to speak. He's the don of them all in terms of big hitting.
Firing as we would have expected them to. I mean, looking at the teams when they were lined up, we thought Delhi Daredevils and Kings 11 Punjab would be just creating havoc. But Kings 11 Punjab has just not lived up to the expectations.
Is it lacking the mature Sachin or the Vaughan or the Kumbley in its team?
It could be. That could be one reason. I think also there's been a change of captaincy. So there's a little time people take to settle into a new guy. So Sangakkara has replaced Yuvraj Singh. It has its own little ripple effect. I'm not, there's been too much speculation whether there's some kind of dissension within the dressing room. I don't think that's the issue necessarily. I mean, I'm not privy to inside information, but I just think it's like any team. If you're working in a newsroom or if you're working in any organization, a new boss comes in, it takes a little while for people to settle down. Unless things fall automatically into place and you move ahead, it can happen, but most likely it won't happen. And the pace of the tournament is so fast that by the time you realize that 10 days have gone and you're three matches down.
Yeah, exactly.
True. I have, because last year we saw, Kevin Peterson was the captain and things didn't work out for Bangalore Royal Challengers. Apparently he couldn't even remember team member names. And then Kumbley took over and we just saw them, come to the finals, and they're doing very well this year. So do you think because the more Indian players, does that affect their mindset?
Look, I think one is, you're right. I mean, in a sense, what happens is any captain has to deal with a larger number of Indian players rather than foreign players for any captain.
Correct.
So you need to have a better understanding. Then, of course, about the conditions, the Indian conditions. So Kumbley and Sachin and even Saurav and Yuvraj and Sehwag should be knowing these conditions far better. The one guy who's been an exception to all of this has been Shane Warne.
Right.
He performed brilliantly when he was first season captain in India, and then of course he didn't do too well in South Africa, and now he's come roaring back. So Shane Warne I'll keep aside from this kind of a discussion, because A, he's a maverick, and B, he's an absolutely charismatic captain.
Exactly. I think, Australia lost out. I think we lost out on some fine captaincy we would have seen, from Shane Warne at the international level. But I think IPL is making up for it.
Well, everybody says he's possibly the best captain Australia never had.
Correct.
The other guy who obviously missed out on the captaincy in Australia was Adam Gilchrist. And he led Hyderabad to victory last year in South Africa. And completely contrasting personalities. One is what I call a lateral thinker, which is Vaughan, because he's up to all kinds of tricks.
Right.
And he's half the time he's playing poker, the other kind of half he's playing cricket. he's so much into mind games, being ahead of others and scheming. And typically, maverick, magnificent spinner would, because you have to outthink and outguess the batsman all the time.
But
the other is Adam Gilchrist, who's built up on the strong tradition of Aussie hard play. High energy level, great workout, great drill practice, this, that. It's very linear. He's not so lateral in his approach or his thinking. He's very linear, but sets exacting standards. And to everybody else, if you follow that standard, you're probably going to excel.
What I would say, in banking terms, we say Vaughan is probably doing a little more risk analysis, and Adam Gilchrist probably goes by the book, the law book that is given in banking credit guidelines. And Vaughan is the kind of guy who will probably deviate and, figure his own way out. So
I think that's exactly it.
And guys, I forgot to mention that Meenal is from the banking industry. So she's going to be comparing, her banking regulations and all those things with cricket.
I mean, considering I keep doing risk assessments all the time, and, when I fly to the game, that was the first thought that came to my mind. As Ayaz was speaking about comparing their captaincy styles.
Oh, well, let's move on. Let's what are your top three performances for the week now? We saw Pathan did good. He went crazy. Sachin continues from where he left off from last week. Robin Uthappa came up. Kedar Jadhav was another guy.
I would actually say for me the top three performances were Yusuf Pathan. He smashed 8 sixes the other night against Deccan Chargers, and not just 8 sixes, he stopped the champion team. I mean, that's important.
Yeah.
And has opened up a Pandora's box. This league has just become open again. Because if Deccan Chargers had won and Rajasthan had lost, then you would have said Mumbai, Bangalore and Hyderabad are becoming clear front runners, and you know, the laggards are all at the bottom. But now Rajasthan is in place three. They've just kind of leapfrogged.
So the fight basically is now for the fourth place, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't... No, it's not just for the fourth place. I think that anything could happen even in the top four. Barring Mumbai, which seems to be a little ahead of the others, you can't write off any team as of now, because that's really been the most intriguing and exciting part of this league so far. That, well, now we're into the third week, and we don't know which four are going to be the semi-finalists. I mean, technically, you could say Punjab has an uphill task, and KKR have to do something really exciting to move ahead from, you know, their seventh position.
Yeah.
But, Punjab can win 7 out of 9 games. They've got the talent. And KKR can win 6 out of 9, which means other teams have to fall back.
Correct. Now we also have AB de Villiers meeting Swamiji's and all those things. Did you read that article in Times?
I read that. I found it quite amazing. I mean, you know, what is this world coming to now? So you need a Swami to take a catch or make runs.
Look, when you're down and out, you're ready to try out anything that will probably make you successful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So on the other hand, AB de Villiers is meeting Swamiji's, but Yuvraj is trying to catch up on his nightlife, escaping securities as well.
You know what he says? That what nightlife? I was going to meet my grandmother.
Oh,
now,
is it?
Yeah, she said that she's the best cook in the world, and I'd gone to her house to have a meal or whatever. I don't know. Some wag suggested that he should be given a lie detector test, but I will take it at face value. I'll say, yeah, he went to meet his grandmother.
Yeah,
And my only concern is he's going to come out and perform like the other day he did against Chennai Super Kings. You know, that roller coaster match. It's fine what he does off the field as long as he performs on the field.
I completely agree with that. As long as he maintains, you know, I mean, there might be two team discipline and whatever else, but that's for them. That's their problem. That's their lookout.
Exactly.
What the fans are interested in, and people who support Indian cricket, and people who support players like Yuvraj, because he is such a terrific talent, is that, look, guy, I mean, you know, we really don't, as long as you go and play well, it doesn't really matter. That wipes out all sins.
But I think, you know what, it affects more than the cricket, it affects the brand value. If you go out and do something wrong, they're going to lose commercials, they're going to lose their brand value. I mean, look what happened to Tiger Woods, right? I'm not saying that.
But I think I differ with you on that. You're right in a sense, look at what happened to Tiger Woods, but Tiger Woods' image was completely, you know, diametrically in contrast to what finally came out. You know, you built up an image over 20 or 15 years or whatever of being the, you know, all-American hero,
right?
With only virtues and no faults, and then you suddenly find that there's a can of worms, and not one can, maybe several cans of worms. then it's a blow to the, you know, brand value and whatever else. But there are guys who are, I mean, Shane Warne, he's a terrific brand.
Yeah.
And he's never been straight-laced, you know, he's been as straight as a jalebi.
Correct.
Very true. Well put, Ayal. I think nobody would have put that better.
So let's talk about the two new teams. Ayaz, we spoke about this last time, and now we know who's going to own those two teams. So the Pune team has gone to apna Sahara Group.
Sahara.
And the Kochi to a Rendezvous Consortium, a group of people that nobody had heard of. They just came together and have put in 1,500 crores and bought the Kochi team. Apparently, there is only one Kerlite amongst this group, and even he lives in Bangalore.
So, there are two.
Actually, there are two, is it?
Yeah, the other is the mentor, Shashi Tharoor. He may not be a stakeholder, but he masterminded it. So, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the glue that bonds all of them. Were you surprised at all? I mean, Shashi Tharoor has written books about cricket and all those things. This wasn't expected.
I'll tell you something. I'm surprised only to the extent that he should have been so kind of excited about IPL or T20, because he's a cricket fanatic, there is no doubt. I thought he was, you know, going to be only for traditional cricket and not this kind of what people think is just an extravaganza of, you know, or a kind of a lowbrow entertainment vis-a-vis test match cricket.
Right.
But there you are. I mean, you know, Shashi, I remember he's written for me 25 years ago in a magazine. Yes, when I was, you know, there was a magazine called Cricketer Asia, for which I used to commission articles, and before he went to the UN, he wanted to write a piece, and he wrote, and he was a superb writer.
Correct. And so now he's taking it to the next level. He's getting into the business of cricket now. But before that, just a quick trivia. Mohanlal and Priyadarshan, Bollywood filmmaker Priyadarshan, they were the first ones to, pitch this idea of a team for Kochi. But then they had to back out. And they had also collected other Bollywood people. So Akshay Kumar was in there and a few other industrialists. And then they had to back out because there was this clause put out. The clause said that you had to have a net worth of at least $1 billion to be bidding for a team. $1 billion.
That's true. $1 billion net worth plus $100 million guarantee or a bank guarantee or whatever else.
Yeah.
These were very, very stiff conditions. I think the idea was perhaps in whatever wisdom that the governing council of the IPL was looking at it is to create a kind of a no defaulter situation. Because the seduction of the league is so high in terms of either business or participation at whatever level, that there might be a fear you might get some fly-by-night operator and then you find that the money is not coming in. Then, it kind of dents the whole structure and the image and whatever else. I think that was the concern. Having said that, I think there were lots of objections because these were extremely stiff demands. I mean, to put $100 million in a bank as a guarantee or as a surety is a heck of a lot of money. Meanwhile, as a banker, he'll probably tell you what it means in terms of rupees.
Ayaz, now with these two teams coming in from Pune, one for Pune and the other one for Kochi, what is going to happen with all the players' situation? Where are these teams going to get players, etc.? Now, we know that there are auctions that are going to happen. But I personally feel that these two teams are going to be on the back foot already because the best of the players are already taken, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a tug of war already developing because come September is when the auctions will take place. The contract for 3 years will expire around December, I think. But the auction will happen in September. And I think there is a set of franchise owners who feel that they should be allowed to retain some number of players. Now, I think the first argument was at least 7 players. Then it went down to 4, 2 foreign players and 2 Indians, depending on the mood and the whim of the franchise owner. But there are other franchise owners who feel that, why should that be the case? All players should be up in the market again.
Correct.
And they should be auctioned because that was the original thinking. So there is a little tug of war going on and both sides have some kind of merits and demerits from the point of view of, say, for instance, Mumbai Indians or Chennai Superstars or Super Kings or Kolkata. I mean, if you put in invested time and money in, say, a Dhoni and kind of built up a fan following and an image with Chennai,
correct,
then to lose him makes little sense of the money you've spent over the last 3 years or for instance, with Tendulkar. On the other hand, if Sahara and Rendezvous Group who pumped in close to 1,600 and 1,800 crore and they have to pick players who are not going to give you a rub-off value where brand is concerned, then they would feel, they've been given the short shrift.
Because Subroto has already, come out and said that I would want Sachin to lead Pune and I'm looking forward for the auction.
Everybody wants Sachin Meenal now. Everybody.
That's very true. He's
not an old horse anymore.
Not just the batting form, but the brand value and the brand extension
is amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, but
he commands that at 37. I mean, I think he's just getting younger and younger as days go by.
I think there are certain players, Aditya, is that some guys will never lose their brand value, right?
So, and there is actually these two new franchises, Pune and Kochi, they are now, there is this particular cause which basically says that if the player wants to go, the franchises cannot hold them back. They are banking on that to get all these players in.
Yes, because in the law, in the eyes of the law, it would be restrictive trade practices. Because if you don't allow a person to ply his trade according to free market dynamics and according to the original stipulation of the IPL, for instance, suppose a player A is with one team and he's getting 3 times or twice the money and you say, no, you can't go, then the guy will say, why not? Yeah? Because my contract with you has expired.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they have also put a salary cap of $7 million for now, for each franchisee. So,
that's an extension of $2 million over the previous amount. So, you can still see some hectic bidding going on. Earlier it was $5 million in early 2008 when the first auction took place. Now it's going to be $7 million. So, it's gone up by, almost 10 crore.
Yeah, let's see. Modi, Lalit Modi is already excited, calling it the biggest auction that India will ever see and you know, bigger than the art auctions that have happened. And this, these auctions are not even for ownership. The only 3 years, right? A player can be.
Yeah.
So he's all excited, clearly.
But you know, Aditya, that's expected of Lalit Modi because he knows how to make things bigger.
He's a salesman, isn't he? He knows how to sell.
It's totally. I mean, there are lessons to be learned, management lessons to be learned from the guy. The way he has brought up the entire IPL scenario, it's amazing. It's just amazing.
Well,
that's a banker speaking for you, Aditya, so you know what she's saying.
We will take it as her face value.
We have to take it at face value.
I have my one major doubt is going to be, you know, there will be 94 matches, 10 teams. Isn't that going to be too much of cricket overdose? I mean, I already struggled to catch up with all the matches, you know, 60 scheduled this IPL. How are fans going to cope up with 94 matches?
Look, I think the issue is of getting a clear window so that there's a participation of... There are two aspects to it. One is that you must have all the best players in the world, otherwise it just doesn't add up.
England are not there. They cannot play.
Yeah, so you need a clear window, and that's where he's going to run into hurdles, because the other boards are not so favorably disposed towards the IPL as India and Pakistan and Sri Lanka and whatever else. The other boards are, in fact, you know, they've got their grievances against the Indian cricket board. The other is that, is it too much of a good thing? Are you killing the goose which lays the golden egg? Now,
exactly.
You know, it possibly is. 94 days, what they'll probably have, 94 matches, what they'll probably end up doing is showing 3 matches in a day. You know, starting somewhere in the morning, somewhere in the afternoon, you know, on some days. So that, when I spoke to Lalit last in an interview, he said, I will not extend the duration of the tournament by more than 1 week. So if it is 7 weeks this year, it will be 8 weeks. But no longer than that, because otherwise he also senses perhaps that players will not be available and there might be a fatigue and, you know, broadcast channels might have a problem, whatever else.
Exactly.
Having said that, I think this year has been a little bit of a surprise for me, maybe because the tournament has come back to India. But we are 2 weeks into the tournament. Usually the league, we've seen, you know, start slackening or flagging a bit in the second and third week and then picks up again towards the semifinals and the finals.
Yeah,
but this year, there seems to be enormous interest, maybe because of the crazy topsy-turvy results that we've been getting.
Exactly.
Crazy topsy-turvy. And the other is that, I don't know, maybe this is the silly season, as I call it now. When the IPL comes to India, it becomes a silly season. Everybody just hooked on to watching cricket.
Exactly. And there's nothing else happening, no other cricket that interests you. You know, you definitely don't want to watch England and Bangladesh, so you're quite bored. And this is, you don't have to spare so much time. It's just a matter of 4 hours and it's after office hours, so it's really helpful.
No, and actually, you know, one of my friends, he works for a Bollywood film production company. And he says that, forget it, I mean, there are no movies that are releasing, there are no new serials that are coming on TV, so it's all IPL.
You have news channel broadcasting shows like IPL Nights, and there is, you know, cricket IPL, etc. So it's from, I think, the whole day it's only IPL happening on all TV channels, so.
Yeah, I think it's had a huge impact on the public consciousness in India, certainly, or maybe the Indian diaspora. But I have one point to make here, Aditya, and, you know, is that, at the end of the day, whatever you do, all this razzmatazz, the paraphernalia, and you do all the jinchak and, you know, stars dancing, whatever it might be. If the product is not good, if the matches are not exciting, if the cricket is not brilliant, then it will fatigue. As long as the product is good, then it can sustain. Like the NBA, you know, the basketball is of exceptional quality and standard. So whatever else happens around it, people say, okay, fine, that's, you know, you take it along. But if the basketball was poor and there were only film stars dancing, or cheerleaders, then nobody will watch it after a little while.
It's like Ayaza, I was watching Sachin's innings the other day and I was thinking to myself, T20 was, you know, touted as, you know, where you just go hammer tongs, you know, just, you know, kill the bowling and play any random shots. But Sachin was a masterclass and it was exactly what purist fans, as I say, you know, those who love test cricket, would have loved to watch. You know, he adjusted to the situation. It wasn't tongs or any bowling, no disrespect for any bowlers. Just clear masterclass in batting, and if that works in T20, you needn't always. I used to first look down and like, oh, this is going to kill the game. But seeing these players like Talis and Sachin, Murali perform, it brings back hope that this game could actually be doing, this form of the game could be doing much better than we were hoping for. So,
yeah, I think a lot of things are happening in this season. I mean, the two contrasting positions are Sachin's batting or Kallis's batting, and the kind of batting that Yusuf Pathan is doing. They're completely opposite in nature and texture and tenor and whatever else. And both have a role in 2020.
Very true.
But to bat like Sachin and to bat like Kallis, which Yusuf Pathan can't do, you need to have exceptional talent and loads of experience. Because what Sachin has done, he's hit one or two, or maybe two sixes so far, or three sixes, but the way he bisects the field, he finds the gaps, and his strike rate is not far behind the leaders. So he is as effective without flexing his muscles. While, you know, Yusuf Pathan, I feel the next assignment might be in WWE.
You actually tweeted that out, right? You said that this this is the hardest that you have seen anyone hit the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people got a little upset about it because I think they misunderstood. I didn't mean that he's, you know, a greater batsman than Richards or Kapil Dev or any of these. It's just that in a short span, the way he's been hitting the ball, and it's a hit and miss game he plays. He's going to miss it 5 times out of 10.
Yeah.
But to do it like that, to, you know, he relishes it, he's hitting, and when I say he's hitting it higher than anybody else, sometimes he even gets caught because he hit the ball in the sky, he's not cleared the fence.
Right. Yeah. In fact, Gilchrist went to say that even his miss hits are going for sixes now, so he can do no wrong right now. You know, on that note, I think we should wrap it up. This was fun. We spoke about cricket to business and everything. But, you know, I'll just leave on one note. The one line that I took away from this week's IPL was when the commentator said, and the fielder has taken a Carbon Kamal catch for a city moment of success. That's something.
You know what, Aditya, you know what it is, and Meenal will tell you, she's a banker, it's money makes the mayor go round, or the world go round. It has always been the case ever since the history of man began.
It's exactly where your money is coming from, Aditya. At the end of the day, you have to, you know, give credit because the sponsors are running the show. So they don't mention them, they're going to land up in trouble next time.
Completely agree. Well, on that note, thanks a lot, Ayaz, for joining in, and Meenal.
Thank you so much, please
follow Ayaz on Twitter. He's at Cricketwala if you're not already doing that. And Meenal is also on Twitter. Meenal, who are you?
Yeah, I'm at GrangerGadBlog.
Yes, so please follow her. And for any comments, please log on to www.theindicas.com. Okay, thanks a lot. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.